Sunday before last, I stood before you to share a message that was kind of difficult for me. The Holy Spirit had laid a very simple truth on my heart, and I knew it needed to be shared because He knew who was sitting in these seats that day. So it didn't make much sense to me, but I simply uttered the words that He laid on my heart, which were, "You need to forgive. It's time to let it go." And I was shocked at the outpouring of comments, the emails, the text messages that I received after I shared that message. I was in just shocked that the number of people that I saw crying at the mention of one simple sentence. It was truly amazing how the Holy Spirit works, and I was blessed to witness Him in action in a really powerful way. As I sat to write today's sermon, those faces kept coming back to my mind again, the comments that they shared. And so, trusting Jesus again, remember I am a pretend pastor, I kind of got thrust into on-the-job training, if you will. I'm learning to just really let go and let Him speak in and through me instead of sharing my words. So I was sitting in that back office there, and I prayed, I bowed my head, and He did it again. He spoke some words about to the hearts that will be in here today, exactly what you needed to hear. And the truth was, the truth that was laid on my heart, is that many of us were hurting. We're frustrated, we're angry, we're hurt, depressed, and we really just don't know why. Something is just off in our hearts. Something is keeping us from God, but we just really can't put a finger on the why. Something is off, and we want to blame God. We want to find the answer, but we just can't. Luke 13, verses 10 through 13, shares the story of a woman that Jesus heals. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, He called her forward and said, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then He put His hand on her, and immediately she straightened up and began praising God. 18 years. 18 years, this woman was crippled by a demon. Several things jumped out at me as I read this verse. First, she didn't ask for help. I can't help but think after 18 years of trying different things to figure out what was going on, you kind of just accept it. You know, you figure out how to live with it, and you just keep going, one foot in front of the other. She didn't yell out, "Jesus, save me." He noticed her. He set her free. And while she had no idea what it was that was crippling her, I believe, I have experienced, and I have studied scripture that highlights Satan's work in this world. His tricks, his deception, his manipulation and temptation. I have experienced Satan at work in my life. He's filled my mind with agony of past hurt. I've replayed struggles I've gone through in my mind, all in an effort to trip me up, make me feel guilty, make me feel angry, push me away from God, cause me to just really stumble. As I was working on this sermon, Jesus laid on my heart that Satan is really at work in some of your lives, in some of your hearts. And like this poor woman, you can't identify the culprit. You just can't put a finger on why, but you don't feel close to God right now. You just can't put a finger on the why, but you're angry and you're upset and you're frustrated. You can't put your finger on the why, but you can't help but feeling bad about yourself, about your life, about your circumstances. You don't want to blame God, but you do. You want to feel His peace, but you can't. Satan is alive in your life right now. And this, like this crippled woman for 18 years, you can't see it. You don't know it, but you are desperate in need of healing, in need of help, in need of forgiving yourself. Each morning, I spend time in Scripture using the Lectio Divina method that we have been using a lot here recently. It allows the Holy Spirit to really tug at my heart, to get to those places that I don't want to go. And I'll share with you what I wrote the other day when I read today's verse. The first question that I ask in the Lectio Divina method is, what word or phrase speaks to your heart? I wrote, couldn't straighten up. You are set free. As I wrote those words, I couldn't help but wonder about the bridge there. You know, how do you get from can't straighten up to being set free? I needed Jesus to open my eyes to the how, to get to the point of being set free, when all I felt was crippled. So then to the next question, what part of your life, what circumstance, relationship, struggle that you're going through right now, what is that word or phrase speaking to in your life? And I wrote, I feel trapped. I'm living in an impossible existence. I'm living life bent over under the weight I feel on my shoulders. But, and the Holy Spirit really started stirring, and I was feverishly writing, I wrote, yes, the work has to get done, JB tended to, shipped around, dinner made, but I'm crushing myself under the weight of my own expectations. I'm playing the victim to my own standards. I need a way to just let it all go. I just need to relax. And Jesus offers the sweet words right then and there, you are set free. He gave me the answer when I got quiet and I just spent a little bit of time with him. He highlighted for me to get from being crippled under the weight of life to being set free, I needed to just get away, just get quiet with him. I had to stop placing these impossible demands on myself and allow him to set me free. And I share all of this with you to be vulnerable with you, my church family, that I too am human, I have limitations, I too feel exhausted and I can't figure out why. But then I share this with you because I found the answer. I have a way for you to discover what it is that's going on in your heart and in your life, and I have the cure. And it's right here. A friend of mine who works in ministry shared with me that one day he was at his church working and he found a note somebody had left, and the note said, you need to stop telling us to read that Bible. Stop lecturing us every single week to open up that book and read it. We don't want to study it, just tell it to us. Thankfully, this is not such a place, and I openly, if that's the case, I would openly ask you to show me the door, because I boldly stand before you today with the testimony that my life was transformed since I began to really immerse myself in this Bible. I am far from perfect, and my life is far from perfect. But I have to tell you, life is different because I make a commitment to starting every single day in his word. Now, even that quiet time is not perfect. The dog is barking and I get interrupted 10 times because JB wanted cereal. No, he wants a waffle. No, he wants milk and he wants juice. It is not cozy. It's not comfy and perfect. But Jesus still meets me there every single morning. Every single morning. I crave that time. I can't wait to sit in that one little spot on the couch and just let him speak to me. It's in that time that I find the nourishment, the confidence, the healing, the love, the excitement, and the joy that I need to make it through the whole day. It's where the ideas for my work come pouring in. It's where names of people are laid on my heart and I can reach out to them. It's where Jesus answers those really difficult why questions. It's where Jesus gets into those deep corners of my heart that make me crippled and I don't know why. It's in that time that I get those answers every day. So I have to wonder, how in the world do you make it through your day, your life without him, without spending any specified time with him each day? How could you hear his whispers over the noise of our lives? How do you get the peace that you're craving if you don't prioritize your relationship with him? How do you know your heavenly Father if you don't ever spend time with him? I may sound like a broken record week after week, day after day, but y'all, the creator of this universe, he wants a relationship with you. He is drawing you in, the author of life. The man, the creator who knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows what it is that's crippling you. He knows what those hurts are, and he just wants to be with you. Whatever that thing is that's held you captive for 18 years, he says you are set free. But I have to highlight a word. When he says be free, that's a really short but powerful sentence. Because be is an action word. It implies that you have to move. You have to do something. You have to believe that you are free and then live your life that way. It means you have to jump into action to make changes where you need to let go of a past that you need to. Do whatever it is and then be free. And by do something, I don't mean just claiming that you're praying about it. There was a Baptist pastor back home who had a few people from his church congregation. They came up to him and they said, "Hey, pastor, you know, we got to do something. We need a prayer meeting. We need a prayer service. We got to get our people really praying again." The pastor thought about it for a second and said, "I got it. I'll take care of it on Sunday during worship." So Sunday comes and the pastor stands before his congregation and he says, "It has come to my attention that this church family is in need. So today begins our next financial stewardship campaign. It is time to really start tithing that 10% of your income." After worship, the congregation members came up to him and they said, "Well, pastor, you know, we're a little bit confused. We told you we needed people to start praying more. We didn't say anything about collecting money." And the pastor said, "Oh, I know. Every time I preach on tithing, every single person in this church comes up and says, before I commit, pastor, we need to spend some serious time in prayer before I commit to giving you that 10%. He said, "So there you go. Everybody's praying again." And I heard this and I laughed, and because I have used, I'll pray about that as a crutch and as an excuse a dozen times in my life. Now, clearly, I do support the idea of prayer. I think that if you have a big decision to make, you do need to spend time praying about it. But when we pray, we have to actively wait in expectation. What does that mean? Well, it means, first of all, you have to have faith. We have to faithfully believe and know that God hears our prayers, that He is acting to answer them. And then also we have to put in the work ourselves. Our parents in here, if you were on your child's case about studying for a math test, and they simply said, "Mom, leave me alone, I prayed to get an A," well, you know good and well that is not going to work out if they don't ever open up a book. You have to put in the work. But I get it, because I can see some of the looks right now. Those of you who have been frustrated, you feel like, "Well, you know, I did pray, and I didn't have anything happen." You've seriously felt crippled, but then you don't feel like God's there. You feel like you just are spinning in circles. Scripture shares another beautiful example of Jesus healing and highlights the things that get in the way of his healing. Now, for those of you who read my daily Bible study devotionals, this one was from, I believe it was last week, so I apologize, but I couldn't help but sharing it again today. Mark 8, 22 through 25 says, "They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man, and they begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on them, Jesus said, 'Do you see anything?' He looked up and said, 'Well, I see people, they look like trees walking around.' Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. The eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. After the blind man was brought to Jesus, what was the first thing Jesus did? He led him outside the village." I can just imagine this scene. All of these people who are desperate for healing, desperate to see and just talk to Jesus, just touch him. It's chaotic. There's commotion. Jesus leads this blind man outside of the village. Now, he wanted to keep a lot of his miraculous healings quiet because he wanted everybody to understand his purpose to coming to earth was not for miracles and healing. His ministry was to die and save our lives. He didn't want to be a celebrity hero that he was being made out to be. He wanted to get away, to get quiet, so that he could focus on one person, one lost sheep. Jesus really laid it on my heart for me, for you, right here and living today. You too have to get away. You've got to get away from the distractions, get away from the worry, from the chaos, the noise of life, and simply just be with Jesus. Because that is when he can heal. And the amazing thing and the extremely important detail that I don't want you to miss from today's story, he had to heal this man twice. Y'all, sometimes it takes time. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looks up and he said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking around." Once more, he put his hands on the man's eyes, and then they were opened, his sight restored. He saw everything clearly. You're not going to like that, but sometimes your prayers, they take time. Healing takes time. This has nothing to do with his abilities, but it has everything to do with the circumstances surrounding our prayer request. You don't know that there are thousands of factors surrounding that prayer request that you just lifted up. To us, it's easy. I asked, boom, it should get done. And I'll share this example. Let's say, for instance, that you prayed, "Jesus, I just interviewed for the perfect job. Please, Jesus, just give me this job. It's perfect. It's the answer to prayer that our family needs financially. This is, it's in the right location. This is the perfect job, Jesus. Please give it to me." And then you get the phone call. "Thank you so much for your time. We're really, thought that you were great, but we're gonna give the job to somebody else." And you're crushed. How could Jesus not answer my prayer? I mean, it was perfect, right? Well, there are some circumstances surrounding that prayer that you don't know. The person who earned that job, they had also been praying. They had been praying and asking Jesus for that exact same job because little did they know, but they needed insurance because a week later their child would get diagnosed with cancer and they needed that insurance money more than you did. And you also don't know, but there's a company that's moving to town and they're creating this perfect job that is even better suited for you. Every prayer request that you have, there are thousands of factors surrounding it that he's working, he's answering, that you can't see. So you have to put your trust, you have to believe that he knows what is best for us. And you have to let him guide you there. God is constantly at work in all of our lives. But we can't see the full picture. We can't see the circumstances, the bumps in the road that he is navigating us around. We have to remain faithful. We have to trust. Even when we're blind to his work, it's happening. So today's instructions are very simple. You've heard them 1,000 times before, but I pray today that somehow they just sink in your heart a little bit deeper. Move. That's all you got to do. Get up. Go after the life of faith that you want. Get into the Word. Get to know Jesus. Ask him to heal what needs to be healed in your heart. Ask him to open your eyes to his will for your life. Ask him for guidance with what you're seeking. Since January, I've written a Bible study and a devotional every single day. The devotional material is mine, so it's hit or miss, but every day I give you a little bit of scripture. It's not overwhelming. It's 3 verses at most, and then 3 guiding questions for how the Holy Spirit can speak to you in your heart, in your life, right now, every single day. But you have to put in the work. I used to get on the poor youth all the time. I can give it to you, but you have to work. I can't say the prayers for you. I can't read the Bible for you. You have to work. You have to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. You have to pray and then listen to what God is calling you to do, to those find those answers that you're seeking. So quit wasting your time being worried, being upset, being frustrated. Quit allowing Satan to cripple you under the weight of life. Allow Jesus to set you free. And then you can begin living your life like you are set free. Amen.